Blog Talk Radio.
To all of the listeners, this is Religion Means Alive. Our host, Imam Alfred Muhammad, will be calling in shortly. I am Sister Nabila Bey. I am located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm a licensed professional counselor. And today, or this evening, while we wait to break our fast, we will be discussing some current topics of interest and concern to the African American Muslim community. So I'm waiting for Imam Alfred to call in. And in the meanwhile, we can read some translation of the Holy Quran, Surah 16. Yes. Imam Alfred? Okay, Surah 16, Ayat 123, then we have sent the revelation to you. Follow the religion of Ibrahim, or Abraham, the Hanifa. And he was not of the Mushrikeen, the polytheists, the idolaters, the disbelievers. The Sabbath was only prescribed for those who differed concerning it, and verily your Lord will judge between them on the day of resurrection about that wherein they used to differ. Invite mankind to the way of your Lord, that is Islam, with wisdom and fair preaching. And argue with them in a way that is better. Truly, your Lord knows best who has gone astray from his path, and he is the best aware of those who are guided. So we're waiting for Imam Alfred to call in. Keeps telling me to press one, and I'm pressing one, and I don't hear anything. So, he may have to start the show over. And here he is on the phone.
Okay.
Imam Alfred, I have...
Do you see?
The show is on live now. It's already on.
Okay, so you should... Here's what happened. You will see a little white spot on the board. Did you go on through the computer?
No.
Okay, go on through the... You have to go to Blog Talk Radio, because that's where the board will, and you'll see a little white spot, and you press that, and that's my number. You see my number, 908-463-4843. I will then come on, because you have the switchboard. You have to probably go out and come back in through the computer.
Well, I already started on the... computer.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I already started on the phone. You want to just continue now? They can hear you.
No, the only reason I'm doing this because I can't. Something's wrong with my.
But I'm saying the show is already started on the phone, so people are hearing you right now. So if you want to just continue, you can.
Well, you can. Okay, if they can hear me, We got a little confused, but it's okay. We'll go with it. All right. Keep talking.
Okay, so I started out, I just read three ayats from the end of Surah 16 of the Holy Quran, where it talks about joining the religion of Abraham, which is the religion of truth, and asking people to invite others to the way of their Lord with wisdom and fair preaching, and to argue with them in a way that is best. So that's what I opened up with.
Okay, good. Well, you know what? Let me see. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, because okay, let me just do the formal opening. Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience. We are listening to an interesting edition of Religion Means a Lot. Something's technically wrong with my phone that I don't have the use of the keyboard, so Sister Nabila doesn't have the key to the keyboard. Otherwise, she would press a button and I would be right in. If you see the keyboard, the Blog Talk Radio keyboard, it will say that. But anyway, what I'm going to do is, until we get this technically right, I'm going to ask Sister Nabila, as a host, for a few questions, and she can then tell us answer. My question would be, what are the most pressing issues facing Muslims? And then I'd like you to answer Muslim African Americans. What are the special issues you see facing us?
Okay, what I chose to do was to I explained to our listeners that I am located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. So I've spoken to some professionals in our area, and one being a Muslim dentist, the female that's a Muslim dentist. Also, I have tried to reach our Muslim mortuary service provider. However, of course, because of this COVID, she has been swamped with work. I also spoke with another imam in our area who provides counseling for Muslim individuals. So we came up with a short list of topics, and maybe I can just say what the topics are quickly, and then you can, you know, expound on them. Number one was disaffected and disconnected Muslim youth. Young people from maybe 18 to 35 who have not formally apostated the religion, but just really don't show much interest in keeping up what we generally know as the traditions, cultural traditions of Islam. Number two is backbiting the dead. There's been a lot of discussion about this show of who killed Malcolm X, and just discussion about is it proper to even speak ill of the dead, whoever they are and whatever they have been accused of doing in their lifetime. Number three was a concern about behavior and misbehavior. Is there something still called shame? Are there any morals left? Also, number four, the dentist was concerned about health care, whether we have enough health care providers in our communities, the fact that diabetes rates are very high. Number four is people are having struggles with income. They technically have not been fired or anything from their jobs. However, there's a lack of work because all of the jobs are closed down. Even myself, I work for the public school system, and it's closed. So, I can't provide the work that I do because the buildings are technically closed. And the final one was concern for gathering educational resources for parents who have found themselves automatically or by default being homeschoolers, and the parents' need for resources to help them educate their children.
God. We got about 10 books right out of all those four discussions, but wherever you would like me to start, I will try to answer them to the best of my ability.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll start with the healthcare situation, health insurance. What's your opinion on how healthcare insurance should be provided for citizens?
I think the first thing we need to talk about is what is a Muslim community.
Okay.
I think we're so informed by our past life as Christians that we seem to think that ritualistic life is really the life of a Muslim. The rituals, the four basic rituals of Islam, that is Shahada chain, Salat, Zakat, and Hajj, really are for us, and Allah says fasting is for Him. So those four institutions, it seems to me that the scholars or the thinkers, I don't like the term scholar because it presupposes something that most of us don't understand, but I would say the thinkers among us have not made it real, and this is a direct result of why we have so much alienation on the part of our youth. I think we're trying to live a foreign life in our religion, and our religion becomes a burden on us rather than an ease upon us. And as a result of that fact, we have probably in Philadelphia and the whole area, probably a couple of 100,000 Muslims, which means that if we were to come together as Muslims in the Philadelphia area, we would have our own insurance program. We would have our own health care program. We would have our own HMO. But we don't seem to understand the need for a forming of unity. And how you form a community. And I think this goes back to another big issue facing Muslim and African Americans. We know just the rest of Africa. We have some very deep-rooted psychological problems. And what I had conceived of this program was to get into the socio-psychological problem. And if we even address the health issue, much of the eating of comfort foods, the much of the eating of salt, much of the lack of exercise is all a direct result of not having community life. And basically, all of these issues should be discussed on the minbar. Not just the minbar, that should be discussed after Juma, or whenever they're gathering. And secondly, we need more social gatherings, not just the two Eids. We need the gathering where we can come together and the better minds of our people can present themselves. The dentist here can talk to us. Our social scientists can address us. That's the big problem. We don't think of it a community. And I talk to a lot of the alienated young people. We need to talk to them, but we have to forgive us. You know, we make jousel. The first thing we do, we say, "Oh Allah, forgive me." So in sitting, we should ask for forgiveness. Then we should seek God's guidance. Then we should seek His provision or res. We should seek purification. And we should also seek to be elevated above this forgiveness. But what it has to be a fervent prayer of ours. Dua, as well as dhikr, as well as it, with a focus on addressing these problems. I don't believe that these young people leave Islam are just leaving it. I talk to them. They don't see anything here. They see us arguing. They see us acting worse than Christians. And so they just go away. So you can't create a critical mass of people. Well, what about shaming? That's another issue for us. We should have a judiciary body among us. So if you have charges against people, you should be able to bring charges. basically you shut your mouth up. You know, we should also reach out with people with love. So I think it's comprehensive, the healthcare issue. I don't think we as a people, as Muslims, should have to go to the government to provide healthcare. The Mormons have their own healthcare system. The Seventh-day Adventists have their own healthcare system. We should have our own healthcare system. Now, absent of that, certainly I believe that the government, the United States government, the state government should provide the best healthcare for us and not emergency well health. I mean, people should have an exam. If after you get over 40 years of age, the average person, well, the average, not the average, most people, should have an exam every 4 months, every 3 months. So we know people don't have insurance. Some of us that do have insurance, for some odd reason, which I do understand, don't avail themselves of regular medical exams. That's where the psychosocial, logical work must take place. And that's to be understood. Our societies are less equipped than these mega churches. And I'm going to tell you something. I've visited many of the mega churches. And you know what you find in these mega churches? People will actually still identify as Muslim. And you say, why are they going there? No, they don't believe in the religion, but they're going to get a message about how to budget themselves. I know a big Christian preacher has all of his congregants out of debt. We need these kinds of things. So we have to look comprehensively at the life of a Muslim. It should be a model life, but we know it's not a model life. Then we should try to figure out how we get there. So I think that's a short answer, but I hope I give a teaser to what kind of answers we have, and I hope in the future I can get this computer straight so we can do this interview and this discussion in a more proper way and have more people involved. But we want to have this kind of dialogical engagement. And let me just say here, too, a huge problem for us is having adequate mental health providers. I mean, physical health providers, physicians and dentists, is less of a problem in having mental health providers that are sensitive, that are Muslims, or others who are sensitive to the issues of Muslims. So I'm happy to know that you are certified in this field, and we need more. Every masajid should have a social worker on staff and should have a department of counseling services. Again, we wonder why people go to these word churches. Well, you know what? The Reverend Jake's church has a counseling department. I know another big preacher right close by in Jersey. He has 15 full-time certified psychotherapists on staff. I don't know of any messages that has a mental health department. That's a major problem. We know marriages are torn apart because we come from troubled backgrounds. So you need professional marital and family therapists. You need professional child psychologists. Professional. And that hasn't happened yet among us. And so God willing, we will get there and die well towards the destiny.
Yeah. I'm wondering, well, do you think this program is going to tape? Is this recorded when you do it over the phone?
It is going to be taped. I wish you were.
I have Block Talk pulled up on the computer, but I don't know what to do. I have it pulled up. It says log in. Should I log in?
Log in. It probably won't allow you to log in because you don't have my phone, and it's probably dead. Because I see that there's somebody else besides me is on the line. There's somebody from the 215 area. But you would have to have the use of the board in order to bring that person into the discussion. They can listen, but if they have a question, they would have to press one on my phone, and they would have a question. So I don't know whether you can go through Religion Means Alive and get the board or not. They're not allow you to do that because only on my phone, and my phone is sort of programmed to that. But we'll just work with what we got. I'm going to ask the same question I asked, you asked me, I'll ask you to answer.
Which is what?
What do you say? You can outline four sets of problems, namely health, care. You talked also about backbiting. You talked about the same thing. You raised four questions, and I gave partial answers to those questions, and now I would love to hear your answer to those questions.
Okay, my one of my major concerns is about the youth, and I've worked in schools. I've seen Muslim teenagers. And I would say that the majority of them don't mind being identified as a Muslim. They wear the garments. They have the names. They need adult support in establishing Muslim student associations in high schools as well as in colleges. And I think with that kind of support and camaraderie, where the young people are able to enjoy each other's company as Muslims, I think is very, very important to establish and to maintain. As far as backbiting the dead, a good companion of mine brought up the fact that she was very disturbed about the ongoing program called Who Killed Malcolm X, and she felt that the gentleman that's running the show, she couldn't understand why he was so involved in this especially during Ramadan, but also she wanted to know, you know, did he have witnesses to who he saying did kill Malcolm X? She just thought it was inappropriate. So I did ask the imam that I spoke with earlier, and he said it's in the 40 hadith that whoever believes in Allah and the last day, either speak good or stay silent. So also that whoever believes in Allah and the last day should be good to their neighbor and kind to their guest. So we also went into a discussion about where Allah orders Muslims to be kind to their mothers, be kind to their, as the English says, to the kith and kin. And did Allah mean only be kind to our Muslim relatives, or does Allah mean to be kind to all of our relatives? And we understand that Allah means for us to be kind to all of our relatives, immediate family and also extended family, and only if your parents were to order you to do something that is haram, that's the only time you don't you're not responsive to their needs. And we're also told, especially with this virus and all of our elderly, I mean not our, but just elderly people being shut away in nursing homes, and then they're wasting away and going away, and we're in this tight situation, even for people that are not in nursing homes, but even in the hospitals, where we're precluded from doing one of our major duties in Islam, which is to visit the sick, to comfort the sick, to provide proper burial services for them if, you know, if they succumb to whatever their illness is. So that's causing a lot of trauma in the Muslim and the non-Muslim community, just the fact that people are cut off from their loved ones. They're not able to provide that support to one another as they go through transition. And I think that's a very big issue that's traumatizing all Americans, but Muslims especially, for the reasons that I already outlined. Um, And I think, of course, it's, I think it's important to amass educational resources, not only in this coronavirus time, but also just in general, that our people need to be able to educate our children, not only in our religious services, because I think we have a lot of religious education going on in the different masjids, but we really need some African history so that our people know from whence they came. And really, to me, what's really important is to understand that Islam, to me, Islam is the final product of, like Allah says, he perfected your religion, meaning that there, all of these major tenets and practices that we do in Islam, they've been, Allah sent them a long time ago, way before. So the Afrocentric people start arguing about, well, that's an Arab religion, and no, morality and good character is universal and has been here since time began. So I like to try to destroy those myths that somehow Islam is a different product from our Creator. It's not. It's the same product He is. Our Creator has been sending to us since time began. And either mankind needs to get it together and live in a proper way, in a moral way, like you said, develop those community resources that we need for the betterment of everybody, you know, or, you know, we have chaos. So that's what I kind of pressing on me.
You are 100% correct in that. I think that the other thing that is very sad, that the Muslim African Americans coming to Islam with the same mind that they had when they were not in Islam, and that is that they cannot expect to have their own society and their rights unless they're willing to pay for it. Be the think tank among us. Think through these ideas. Every people that's great in America, they have think tanks. They get that better mind. We don't have to have, maybe not have a fancy building, but we need to bring the better minds together. What I find is every time we have some organization that's organized, study the problems, it's some other people funding it. And if they fund it, they have their own intent. And I have to say this. There's a battle going on in America right now. Who is going to be the dominant group among Muslims in America? I was at the Pew Charitable Trust with a whole group of Muslims. Mm. And basically, they say that the Muslim African American is 30% of the Muslim population. Well, we have to start with it. First, that's a lie. And number two, I also hate to say, I have not found most of our immigrant Muslims to be forthcoming and interested in African American issues. But I don't expect them to. But then I would expect Muslim African Americans to be interested in the African issues. We have a serious issue with us African Americans killing each other. And we have Rahman killing Bashir killing Bashara. I mean, this is endemic violence that's happening among us, the issues that we face. Well, you expect someone from Pakistan to be concerned about African-American life. Well, they should be, because that's what Islam is, but we know in practice that doesn't happen. And I heard a big imam among African-Americans to say African-American people are not our people. Now, we have this kind of thinking from the top. What can we expect the average brother and sister that's trying to ride the train, the red line, or whatever line, the subway? He wouldn't have the time to think on these issues. So we need thinkers. We need thinkers, men and women, that can think through these issues. Now, I'm not free to talk about the killing of Malcolm because, frankly, I was involved in that document. mentor. I served as a consultant and contractor. I can't say anything about it. But I can say this. Others, people, what these programs are, they're not interested in us. They're interested in making billions of dollars and probably further dividing us.
Yeah.
This happened, what, 50 years ago. But they every year they stir the same issue up. And what Alvin Murphy should be trying to do, after most of my work, we should be identifying young leaders under 50 that can take us to the next generation. But those under 50 leaders, if they're decent, they would be consulting people like you and I. They would consult. And I've seen many of our young people, they go overseas and study what they think is Ellislam. And they really wouldn't have to go overseas to study. Because if they really study, there are people among us right now that teach them Arabic, could teach them Quran, could teach them Hadith, could teach them everything right here. And then, as you said, they should know the history of African people from the rise of Mali to the fall of Mali to the rise of Shanghai to the fall of Shanghai to what happened on the plantation in the beginning of us reviving Islam in America. You can't be an imam. You can't be a teacher in America and don't know this history. You have no use to us. And therefore, one of the reasons our young people are not fascinated, because our imams are not up on it. Excuse my language, but I mean, that's what I get from it. What keeps me contemporary is because I have two sons of 23 and 19, and I can tell you a big hurt kid. Unfortunately, I know who BMF is. I know who King Ernie is. And I'm not putting these people up as any models. But that's what our young people are listening to. They're on YouTube. They're listening to Fresh Out. They're watching these kinds of shows, and they're heavily influenced by the show. Frankly, even if they're going to watch those shows, they're not watching Muslims, thousands of them, were gone to the penitentiary system and reformed themselves. I had a brother on my program. He served 10 years in Grapewood. Got out of Grapewood when he got his master's, went on to get a doctorate degree, and he was reformed. We need to even let our young people meet with Muslims who've had trying circumstances and have overcome those circumstances. I hope and pray and work and pray that we can finally build a model Muslim community. Before I leave this earth, I'm hoping to build a model Muslim community right here in Linden, New Jersey, where I'm a city councilman. We need a model. What it should be like. What should our young people do in our leisure time? Where are our basketball courts? Well, I mean, basketball courts, we're not allowed to come in and curse and talk and act like a savage.
That's smoke weed. And smoke weed and whatever else. He's supposed to be exercising. Right.
Our children to have facilities where actually when non-Muslims come, they are so respectful. They know they can't even come there with weed. They can't even come there with high. But we have substance abuse issues with our children.
Yeah.
So where are our some recovery programs? Well, how are we addressing marijuana? Cocaine. We have all these problems, same problems in the society. But there are no programs in our message. The sad thing, I don't think any of these societies even allow AA to exist in our places. But yet they got people with alcohol problems. They got all kinds of problems. And we need to address those problems. I'm a big stickler for practical Islam. I'm sorry we don't have the switchboard that we could have this discussion. I got to probably get a better telephone or something. I don't know. When I press the buttons on my phone, to press the thing, it doesn't go through. So I have one of these screensavers on it, and probably the glue is stuck, so the dialing is not in. So I don't know what happens. Continue.
So you mentioned think tanks, and yes, that's crucial. That is very crucial. Is there some way we can put a call out, and no matter what community, Islamic community, people, African Americans, and I would even say including Africans of all descent, I mean, you know, no matter where, as they say, where the slave ship dropped you off at, maybe we can all work together to establish, you know, at least a 5-point program where we're going to definitely establish, you know, like you said, athletic facilities for our young people, Saturday schools.
I agree with you.
Yeah, we need to put a call out.
We can do it on Religion Needs a Lot. We just, I guess, first get a better phone track. Maybe get in and run the quick book. Yes, that's my intention. And I'm not talking about one of these public conferences where you just rent a hotel room, a conference day. Everybody come, brown bag it, bring your own pool, bring no registration. Only the sincere people come. You know, the first, usually have 30 people come. And after they show how much Arabic they know, and that they see how bright they are, and we will be required to listen to everybody at the presentation. And then the next month we come back with another meeting. And if we don't get down to about 5 of us, then we can draft what is called a white paper and say these are our findings, and actually have what is called a public hearing. We need a public hearing. We need to hear from our young people. Why don't you go to the masjid? What would you like to see in the masjid? Because I don't believe all these young people that identify as Muslims who don't practice it. I don't believe they're all bad people. In fact, I know they're not.
They're not,
I know some of my family. I think they just have been turned off. I don't even think they know what the religion requires. And I think they see us as a lot of young children that grew up in the Pentecostal church, see their parents as this holy rollers who are out of touch.
Yeah, one of the concerns that the dentist had was just one hoping to see family life reestablished, and what she called taking a look at what our people accept as entertainment. We know it's not entertainment, but that's the label they give it. And people are accepting this diabolical system as entertainment, and it's not.
Yeah.
So one of her concerns was establishing wholesome, down-to-earth lives again, once again. And for that to be the normal instead of this so-called new normal that people are accepting an anything-goes attitude. And I told her, you know, as far as I'm concerned, because she mentioned shame, and I said, see, shame, does shame really exist anymore? You know, does it really? Do people consider something to a certain kind of behavior to be shameful? Like she said, she went to a funeral, and I've been to funerals too, and the people stand right outside the church or whatever the building is and smoke weed.
That was just an example of
she said, what happened to going around the corner or hiding certain parts of your behavior from your elders or from religious clergy or whatever, just not being so out in the open with anything, any old kind of behavior.
But going to a janazah and seeing that happen. I mean, I saw guys right outside the janazah.
Yeah.
And they were smoking weed with phones on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're right. Shame has become, it's like bad news. Nobody says anything. Any kind of behavior is acceptable. We have a lot of work to do, I tell you that. Hopefully next week we will make announcements. We can come back on. I know you got time to break fast. Let's try to do this. I hope you get a better phone, and we'll have this program within the next, I think I have somebody else scheduled, but we'll have this on the second week of June. We'll continue this dialogue. the other people come on the panel.
Yeah. And I'm sure they'd be happy to do so.
I thank you. You have listened to another edition. This is Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, and Sister Nabila Bay is our co-host. So we're going to do this once a month, and we'll do it for 2 hours after Ramadan. We'll announce it, stay posted to Facebook, stay posted to Religion Means Alive, and we will return. Peace be on you, and Ramadan Mubarak.
So now, do I just hang up?
Yes, you hang up.
How do we know that it's recorded?
Oh, we know that. We know that it's recorded because Blog Talk does that.
Oh, okay.
I will post it. Yes, they do that. They record it.
Okay. All righty. All right.
Thank you, Pete.
Okay.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.